ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you remember about 20 or so years ago when it seemed like everyone was cutting out carbohydrates from their diet in order to lose weight? Or 10 or so years ago when a lot of people were drinking nothing but green juice for a week to cleanse their bodies of toxins, or so they were told? Do you remember when gluten became a hot potato and gluten-free alternatives started popping up? Well, with so many bits of nutrition advice flying around the blender of our lives, how do we know which are true and which are myths? This morning, the big cheese of nutrition knowledge on the program, Professor Gordon Lynch, will help us cherry pick a few of the most common nutrition misconceptions and spill the beans. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Greta. Good to be with you.
Now, I guess fad diets are always going to be a thing. Why are there so many misconceptions?
I think people are often there's a quest. Yes, losing weight is usually high on the list of things we want to do, and we want to get there as soon as possible. But the fact is, as you say, there are fad diets and other things, so they come and go. And if we just stick to proper nutrition and think about exercise in combination with that nutrition, you'd actually be surprised how successful it will be. But we tend to just go for the things that are hot at the moment, and for some people it works very well and they swear by it. For others, they don't get the same benefit. And so we have many of these different ideas floating around, some with good scientific basis, others without. And it's just our purpose is to sort of go through them and say, well, actually, what should we be doing, and what's the best way that we can possibly stick with a good nutrition plan that goes hand in glove with our exercise?
Exactly. And, well, let's just do that now. And starting with the one that seems to be around for a while, eating fat makes you fat.
That sort of notion has been dismissed because we know there are many healthy fats. It really comes back to the question of what's a healthy fat. So fats in avocados, in nuts, olive oil, fats in fish, they're essential for the body's function. So including them in small amounts, it really shouldn't lead to weight gain. So whether we gain weight or whether we lose weight, it really doesn't matter whether it's protein, fat, carbohydrate, whatever. If we're having excess amount, it's going to lead to weight gain. And if the food, the contents of the food, the kilojoule content of those foods that we're consuming exceeds the sort of energy expenditure, the kilojoules will be expended with the exercises we do, then no doubt we're going to be gaining weight. But it's the types of food, I think, that are most important. So fats, really, they're not created equal. If we choose the heart-healthy, unsaturated fats, so the things like olive oil, nuts, avocados, over those that are the high in saturated and trans fat, so fatty meats and high-fat dairy and so on, if we can think about those good choices and have them in moderate amounts, then we're going in the right direction. So we really need to think that good fats, they're important for the body's normal function, so producing energy, for supporting hormone production, all those sorts of things for nutrient absorption. And if we're consuming fat in food, it actually makes us feel fuller for longer, so you're less likely to snack, and all those snacks over time, they lead to weight gain. So I think if we think about the healthy fats, Greta, I think we're on the right track.
And just quickly on that, watching out for low fat, because that often means high sugar at the supermarket.
Oh, it's a really good point. It's something that's labelled fat-free. Well, it's not necessarily healthy, is it? Because it may contain, as you say, sugar or salt, whatever, to make up for the lost flavour or, when you're removing the fat. So choose the products, I think, the simple ingredients, no added sugars and so on, and that puts us on the right path.
I suppose with the eating healthy fats thing, that started to become more of the public consciousness around about the time of the Atkins diet. Now, I mentioned that before. I do remember when everybody was cutting out all carbohydrates in order to lose weight and do this diet. And it was breads, pastas, rice, cereal, any carbohydrate like that in order to lose weight. Is that a myth, to avoid carbohydrates to lose weight?
Been sort of dispelled as one of those things. We need carbohydrates. They're a crucial source of energy for your body, for your brain as well. So this low-carb diet, it's given carbs in general. So fruit and the whole grains, they've got a bad rap because they've been wrapped up with this, but they really shouldn't be, because the people that actually follow the diet, They may have had success with weight loss, but that's expected if you're cutting out foods like chips and biscuits and white bread and potatoes smothered in gravy and so on. So I think if we just cut away all that sort of stuff and think about it's the type of carbohydrates you consume that matter. So choosing the whole grains and the fruits and the vegetables and limiting the refined carbohydrates like the sugary snacks and the white bread, then that's the healthier choice. So it's always coming back down to the choices.
White potatoes, again, do they get the same bad rap? Are they good? Are they bad? What do we do with the spud?
Yeah, I think they get a bad rap. Many people think because they've got a high glycemic index means they have this rapidly digestible carbohydrate that can increase your blood sugar. But I think the experts believe that potatoes can actually be very beneficial for your health because they're rich in vitamin C, they have a high potassium content, they're rich in fiber and other nutrients, especially if you eat them with the skin on. So potatoes, you know, they're available all year round. You can have them roasted, you can have them baked, you can have them boiled, air fried, whatever. I think they've got a bad rap, and I think it's a bit of a myth that they're bad for you. It's all about, you know, consuming in moderation and not going overboard. But you know, why cut out that as a potential choice? You shouldn't.
And they're cheap too.
Yeah, now so they're a good option for most of us, and I think we just have to make sure we're consuming in the right quantities. I mentioned before about the total kilojoule. Okay, it's all part of that mixture, but as a choice, I think if we're choosing sensibly, that can be part of it. There's no need to rule them out completely.
Now, here's one. It got me, and I remember this one flying around, in the early 90s, about the egg yolks being bad for your cholesterol. I'm confused by cholesterol diets in general. I'm supposed to follow one. I find it doesn't necessarily make as much sense as a diabetic-friendly diet, which has very clear guidelines. It's sort of strange because some places advise you to eat prawns. Oh, no, not eat prawns, but lobster is okay, or crab is okay. It just doesn't seem to make much sense with a low cholesterol diet. And if you are told if you have eggs to take the yolk out, are egg yolks actually bad for your cholesterol?
Yeah, this has been around for a long time. I think it goes back to even sort of the mid 70s when there was this explosion of interest how you would change your diet for heart health. But I think the cholesterol content, that's one aspect of it. But in fact, many cases have shown that dietary cholesterol may have a minimal impact on the blood cholesterol for many people. So not everyone. So if you're following a certain diet for certain reasons, if you have high cholesterol, many people will benefit, but others don't seem to have that same response. And I know you've mentioned that before. Mm. Eggs are actually very high in nutrients. They can be part of a healthy diet. You just have to check with your GP or your specialist that consuming eggs is part of your approved eating plan. So if you've got an existing health condition, then you may be prescribed a particular diet and you should be following that to the letter. But the idea to say, to dismiss them and say, oh, eggs are not good for you, is a misconception. And I think the evidence, especially over the last few years, has been very much in favour that eggs can be part of a healthy heart plan and other sorts of plans. But it's, again, coming back to this moderation and not going overboard.
Now, we all know someone who loves to down a protein shake and pump some iron. They love their protein.
Sounds like me, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, look, is it improving things exponentially, Gordon? Does more protein build bigger muscles?
I think, Greta, the key with this is the exercise to start the growth happening. So you need a stimulus for muscles to grow. Now, consuming additional protein, so people will take more meats and they might take pills or powders. For most people, if they're not exercising, they're not going to be developing larger muscles because our daily protein sort of requirements, they're based on your body weight. Most people can meet the needs of their protein through the foods they have normally. So if you're eating more protein than what you need on any given day, most of that excess is just going to be converted and stored as fat. So I think for many people, it could be a waste of time and money if you're consuming all this extra protein if you're not actually exercising where there's an extra need for it. So for older adults, it's a different kettle of fish because it's often the question of whether they're consuming enough protein. And so on this show, we often advocate for about protein needs for the elderly, that maybe the extra shakes and other things could be a good way to ensure that healthy aging is met with this need for a right amount of protein. Again, not excessive amounts, but just making sure they're consuming enough. So vegetarians, that's another thing to think, are they consuming enough protein? You know, meat and fish, they're good sources of complete proteins, but you can get the proteins you need as if you're a vegetarian or following a vegan diet, if you're having, you know, the tofu products, but also including, you know, a variety of things like beans and peas and lentils, the nuts, seeds and those sorts of things. So I think a balanced plant-based diet can provide more than enough amounts of protein. You just have to ensure that you're eating a combination of these foods. So again, it's about the healthy choices, it's about variety, and it's just making sure you don't go overboard. But if you're thinking about consuming more protein to build bigger muscles, I'll take you back to the first point, and that's make sure you have a need for it. And if you're exercising heavily and your desire is to build muscle, potentially it may be helpful. For others, you may be getting enough protein in your normal diet.
Just finally, Gordon, when we hear the term healthy eating, I mean, sometimes I know it's the best thing for me, but it immediately equates to, oh no, there goes the end of taste in my food. That's a myth. Healthy eating means appetizing meals, myth or not?
Yeah, I think if you're eating in a sensible, healthy way, it doesn't have to be something where you're consuming, you know, poor-tasting food, you know, at the expense of someone else who's consuming this, you know, mouth-watering stuff. What it does involve is finding out what foods are good for you and learning how to prepare them in the right way so they can delight your taste buds. So it really pushes this message of healthy nutrition, healthy eating in conjunction with exercise, but the healthy good eating habits have become a daily part of your routine, your daily living. So start with a focus, I always think, of the 5-2 goal. That's 5 veg and 2 fruit, ideally. So that sometimes that's challenging to meet that, but it's a step in the right direction, especially if we're consuming more vegetables. And the other thing I'd like to suggest is if we're incorporating nuts into our diet, so raw and unsalted, you know, almonds or walnuts or cashews or a combination of those different ones, they're really a great healthy snack alternative. Instead of you reaching for the potato chips or the chocolate bars, just reach for a handful of raw and unsalted nuts in those different combinations. I think that's a really good way to try and stick with diets and other things and not consuming things that you shouldn't be. It's a healthy choice. So these are just some of the myths, Greta. I'm sure there are many more, and we can cover those in other programs. But I think this was a good place to start.
Thank you so much. Professor Gordon Lynch is the director of the Centre for Muscle Research at the University of Melbourne. You can follow Gordon on X at Gordon S. Lynch.
ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.